This is the Thursday, June 10th edition of the Daily Wager podcast. We've got you covered with two NBA playoff games and a little baseball as well. And as promised, we'll get you in and out in less than 10 minutes.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome to the Daily Wager podcast presented by DraftKings, America's top-rated daily fantasy app. I'm Doug Kazarian alongside Tyler Foljam. Tyler, how are you, sir?
Doing well. We got Joe on vacation, so just the two of us today. And then I think you're off on Friday, so I'm flying solo.
Yes, I am. I will propose if we want to tape a little early, I could join you tomorrow. But yeah, no, I'm getting ready to take a day off, and Joe's off for the next week as well. So, you know, summer vacation, although the NBA has extended its series. So we're usually, in the middle of the NBA finals right now, but that's not the case this year, obviously the delayed season. So we have a nice doubleheader tonight in the association. Let's start with this Brooklyn Bucks matchup. And obviously the Bucks, I mean, look, they were down 49 points in the last game and they have to figure some stuff out. I'm going to side with Milwaukee here. I just think, you know, look, we talk about zigzags theory. We've seen it over the years. I just don't anticipate a sweep. Very small play for me. I'll lay the 3 or 3.5 with the Bucks. I just have to believe that they can figure it out and get it. And there's going to be a little bit of, relaxation a little bit by Brooklyn. So I'll lay the 3.5 with the Bucks. But you have some props here.
Yeah, I definitely have a few props that I want to single in on because I do think, and, you know, as they say, the proverbial must-win game, desperation mode sinking in for the Milwaukee Bucks. It's going to be closer than what we saw in games 1 and 2 since they'll have the comfort of their home gym. On the Bucks side, it didn't cash in the last game, and I'm go right back to it. Drew Holiday over 12.5 rebounds and assists, thinking that Milwaukee either wins this game or keeps it much closer. Drew Holiday at home. Just an awful game all around for everyone. No counting stats, no points for anyone in game 2 in a blowout. So that's when kind of the anomaly we dismiss. Other than that, Holiday's hit this threshold in every playoff game he's played outside of game 2 against the Nets. On the Nets side, Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. We know when James Harden is out, as will be the case in game 3, Kevin Durant absorbs the scoring that James Harden would take on, and Kyrie Irving absorbs the initiation or play creation that James Harden would take on. So that's 20 points and 10 assists, basically, that the bulk of goes to Durant in the scoring column and then Kyrie in the assist column. So I like, in order, Kyrie over 6.5 assists at -115 and Durant over 32.5 points at -110. Keep in mind, for Durant and Kyrie, they pretty much only played 3 quarters in the game 2 win. Durant finished with 32 points. Kyrie finished with 6 assists. So if they get some action in a closer game in the fourth quarter, they would have cashed those in game 3. And then I'm thinking about this as well at +130 because it's pretty juicy. Blake Griffin over 10.5 rebounds and assists. Griffin, again, didn't get much play in the fourth quarter because of the blowout, but he's been a key piece for Steve Nash in trying to defend capably Giannis Antetokounmpo in the paint. He's done very well, found the fountain of youth with the Nets. So if this game is close, I think Griffin plays over 30 minutes. And if that's the case, 10.5 rebounds plus assists for a guy who's a pretty good passer. That's a little soft, and I love the return at +130.
All right, good stuff. A lot of options there. Look, it's a wild card game. Like, I have no idea how it's going to go, but I just just playing traditionally what should happen here with the Bucks, but obviously this is an abnormal situation with the Nets and everything, but we'll see. And typically teams that get blown out like the Bucks do tend to cover the next game, historically ATS in the playoffs. All right, the nightcap. I'm going to grab the Clippers plus the 3 points, and I'm banking on Mike Conley not playing, although signs point to his playing. I just think the Clippers will have some bounce back. Look, game 1 was sort of house money, given the game 7 win and then the quick turnaround. I think the Clippers can figure some stuff out. And Donovan Mitchell, obviously, it was spectacular, but I will go with the Clippers here, plus the 3 points.
I'm kind of on the opposite side. I think the Clips' best chance to steal one was game one after Utah missed 21 consecutive shots in the first half. And the fact that Donovan Mitchell took over and the team, you know, got hot in the second half and came back, I think that was a stolen victory for the Jazz. And I think in game two, again, in front of their home crowd, which was just on fire in the second half of that game, with Conley potentially back as well, the Jazz are only getting stronger while the Clips kind of squandered their best chance, at least in the first two games on the road. So I'm going to lay the three with the Jazz and play their team total over 109.5. Again, they cleared that threshold in game one, despite the fact that it was 21 consecutive shots at one point in the game. That's not going to happen again. The one concern is the pace a little bit for that team total, but I think Donovan Mitchell and this offense, they're just too varied and too good, especially with the way Mitchell raises his level of play when it comes to scoring in the postseason. So I'll play his total, his point prop over 30.5. And if he gets that, he's probably going to have to knock down a few threes. So I'll play his 3-point prop over 3.5 at +115, both thresholds that he easily cleared in game one of this series. I know they have some great defenders on that Clippers team, but Donovan Mitchell's he's like D Wade with a 3-point shot in the modern NBA. So I think he's just someone you can bank on giving you at least 30 points in every game for the rest of this postseason.
Yeah, the D Wade comparisons are fair. I mean, we've heard him for so many years, but it really is so on point. Obviously, Dwayne Wade, now a part owner of the Jazz, was sitting courtside giving Mitchell some advice the other night. Okay, a little baseball. I'm going to take the Astros in the first five. Zach Greinke's been great of late. Rodriguez of the Red Sox did pitch well against the Yankees in his last outing, but I'm going to still stick with the Astros here. I'm going to go first five. I'll just kind of isolate the pitching situation. What about you?
Yeah, I do like that. That was an offense that I was going to target for Daily Fantasy and for a bet as well, their offense against Eduardo Rodriguez. You know me, when I see the White Sox as well taking on a left-handed starter, even one who's pretty good in Hyunjin Ryu of the Toronto Blue Jays, I'm going to try and capitalize on what their offense has done against lefties. So with Dallas Keuchel on the bump, maybe Toronto can get to him. So rather than have the White Sox winning the game, I'll just assume that regardless of the outcome, they score more than 3.5 runs. Found that on DraftKings at -122. So White Sox offense to score 4 runs today. They have a lefty starter and Hyunjin Ryu on the bump for the Blue Jays. I've gone over ad nauseum what this team does against left-handed starters. So no need to go back to that. Just realize that it is one of those profitable trends over the past two seasons in Major League Baseball, the White Sox offense against lefties. So I'll write it again in today's matchup.
All right. Sounds good. Look, yeah, no, it's funny. You know, people might be get sick, but come on, I get it. We get a lefty, but look, it continues to pay dividends. The other night, we talked about it on Daily Wager and, you know, they got a 5 spot in the 8th inning. So obviously not just like hammering a lefty starter, but it still paid. So some of those lucky wins, if you will, are also part of it as well.
You'll take them.
We'll take them for sure. All right, that's going to do it for this podcast. We are on TV. We're earlier today, 5:30 Eastern, still an hour, though, and we'll be on ESPN2 and the podcast tomorrow as well. And then Tyler will be holding down the fort on the television side at the usual time slot at 6 Eastern on ESPN2.